now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Eve Lorgan. Eve Lorgan is a pioneer in the field, a protege of my dear mentor, Barbara Bartholik. Evie Lorgan was a close friend of Barbie Bartholik's, and Evie and I worked together a lot in Southern California, throughout the desert Southwest, actually, for many years. And Evie is excited about coming on the show. I'm excited about having her. She has a lot to share, and without any further ado, Evie Lorgan, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James, for having me on. It's good to be back. Yeah, it's been quite a while since I've been on your show, and a lot has been going on, as usual.
There has been an upsurge in activity as far as my lab activity, ET activity, hyperdimensional interference. We've got it all going on right about now.
Yes, I mean, it always is going on at some point. I think it happens more when there's more political unrest in the world. In general, there tends to be like more MyLab ops that are like emergency things and like the changing of the guard, you know, new presidential, you know, every time there's a new president, there's change of administration. So things do change and they happen. And the reports I'm getting really focus more around the topic of both my books, which is, of course, The Love Bite and The Dark Side of Cupid. And that's really, you know, based on some of the early work that we did. Way back when Barbara Bartholik was close and we were learning a lot. And so I still get reports of, you know, alien love bite kinds of things, but most of my clients, they're not necessarily people who are caught up into, I guess, viewing or identifying themselves as an alien contactee or abductee or whatever. It's more about the relationship dynamics of the interference pattern that is definitely the signs and symptoms of some kind of manipulated relationship on a more supernatural level that is above and beyond simple, like, relationship dynamics. It's even beyond simple what I call narcissistic abuse types of dynamics. And that is, it is really not something that simple. And so I did put two new testimonials on my website. I just posted it yesterday, and it's called The New Predator. And this is something that Laura Leone and myself have been in discussion about a lot, because we both see similar clients where we're getting more and more disturbing types of lethal, we call love bite types of relationships, where usually it's the women who are reporting this, but it's not always, where they have some kind of ex-love bite, let's say, relationship with someone who was a high-level guru or a teacher or a sorcerer or a shaman, or could be just someone they met, but it's not just the run-of-the-mill, quote, alien love bite or dark side of Cupid, where it's just a little bit of narcissistic abuse here and there. I mean, you're talking about really high-level stuff that supernatural and powerful and lethal and extremely dangerous. And so I was able to get two pretty good testimonials to put up there that really demonstrated the things that happen. And I know that in my book, The Dark Side of Cupid, I kind of touched upon that a bit, but really this is much more severe. And so I wrote on the website, I wrote a little bit of a definition of what these testimonials were about and what we're seeing now in terms of the new predator and how these things are definitely much more lethal. And they take on a characteristic of, in some ways, these new predators may be a type of, we could call it a type of hybrid being, but it's almost as if they're part half fallen angel, and that they not only, they don't just have, let's say, one entity that's, let's say, an overshadowing reptilian or a dragon through them kind of thing. You're seeing like a much more powerful combination that could be like legion, basically, and clusters of extremely powerful beings. And then they practice different kinds of sorceries on top of it, so that even if they, let's say, touch you, like one of the gals talked about how she met this man who was a shaman. She wasn't sure what he did. He took her to the woods and he kind of touched her on her belly. And then, you know, she immediately went into a trance and went into this astral thing and, you know, had thoughts inserted in her head and, you know, instant connection in the solar plexus and all kinds of bizarre and unusual things that occurred with this man who claimed to be a teacher and a musician. And he took on a lot of different roles which actually facilitated his ease of predation. And so what we're seeing is, you know, they're not just guys who just go after girls, for example. I mean, they go after multiple partners and they may try the same tricks, those women or even teenagers or children. So you're starting to see the pedophile programming pop up in some of these now. So you'll just have to take a look at my website really to get the full flavor of what we mean about that, about, you know, all the different characteristics. They go above and beyond the classic alien love bite. And I don't know if you've run across this, James, with any of the people that have come to you. Like, let's say that they claim that they're targeted individuals. And sometimes part of the targeted individual thing is that they've had one of these love bite, dark cupid relationships with someone that is acting as a controller and a sorcerer in their life in the love relationship capacity, or what was once love, but it's very addicting. And there's this whole sexual addiction, like we talked about, remember on the panel where we talked about the alien love bite, where there's the love drug addiction part of it, obsession. So you see a lot of the obsession qualities and the love bliss kundalini activated, where it activates in their heart. So it's not something you could easily disengage from because of that quality. And I think what's a problematic in some of these predators, these new predators, they will predate upon and act as benevolent spiritual gurus or teachers or shamanic healers and that kind of thing. So that you will have, you know, women mostly going to them to heal their wounds and to psychically heal them or connect with them. And then they take advantage of these wounds to dig their claws in even deeper on a spiritual level, to the point of, let's saying, oh, they remember them in former lives in ancient Egypt as the priestess or this or that. And they may be able to connect on a very deep soul level and open up their heart. So they actually feel these blissful, ecstatic connections. So it's a, not something that's really cut and dry. You have to actually read the testimony and hear these stories over and over again to get a flavor for why they are so not only addicting, but easily, they can easily deceive people who are even, let's say, healthy people, for example. And a lot of the clients that I had gotten in the past, and I've talked about this in my book, that people who have gone through a lot of trauma, let's say as children, or let's say the someone who is an alien abductee, or someone who's had my lab experiences or trauma-based mind control. Okay, there's a lot of abuse in those histories, as we know, and where they are conditioned oftentimes to normalize abuse. Because if you are raised that way, a lot of times it was a parent or family members that were abusive. So they grow up normalizing this. So they fall into dysfunctional relationships later in life. But what we're seeing in these new predators, you don't necessarily find that that's the case in terms of the, quote, the victim. They're not necessarily people who have been victimized all their life, and that's why they're choosing, quote, bad partners. It's actually these new predators are extremely deceitful, and they predate and manipulate because they are deceivers by nature. You understand? So they could deceive even those who are pretty astute or even people who are pretty psychic. They can deceive you. So I believe this is why it needs to be exposed, because it's not a simple thing that can be easily figured out. Like even when my editor read my book, The Dark Side of Cupid, he was actually surprised that it's like, well, how do these people actually get in these relationships? This is ridiculous. I mean, they're like stupid, right? Like, how could they allow these kinds of things to happen? And a lot of people who haven't been maybe raised in such an environment or have been around learning deep secrets in people's lives. You know, I do this for a living, so I learn about the deepest secrets people have. And there's a lot of people who just, they don't even have a clue these kinds of things are going on and how easy they can happen and be going on for a long period of time. And a lot of the victims, they can't just easily say no and leave as easily as, let's say, someone who's never been through this thinks they should. There's a tendency to blame the victim in a lot of today's, I don't know, psychology in some ways. I don't know if you've seen this. We've talked about it on the panels before, how there's a kind of blame the victim thing that happens. And with narcissistic abuse, you have like these predators that will prey upon the vulnerabilities of someone and then minimize and marginalize and make them worthless. They'll put them up on a pedestal and then they'll slam them down to being worthless. And they do this. This is a dynamic of what they do in order to ensure more and control, right? And feeding more and more off their energy, because that's what they do and that's what's working through them. So you have a lot of different things going on. And I'll pause for a while. So if you had any like questions or comments on some of the things that you might have seen, you know, over the years, James.
Yeah, I've observed something similar. And like you said, it comes in different forms, some more extreme than others. The gal that I was in the love bite with for a 3-year-long psychodrama, you remember that gal.
Oh, yeah.
She, in her younger days, she got into a relationship with a guy she referred to as quote-unquote Hitler, because he was a really controlling, manipulative guy. And he seemed to be in contact with ETs, where on one occasion they broke out a picnic basket and lay a blanket out along a riverbank, and then the guy says, UFOs, aliens will be showing up, just watch. And pretty soon they were in the sky above, right? And then she blacked out, and then when she woke up, she had marks all over her body.
Oh, my God.
On another occasion, she fell pregnant to him, right? And he said to her, you're not going to have that baby. That baby's not going to be born. And then pretty soon, the baby was gone, the heartbeat, everything. The fetus was just gone, right? This guy seemed to have this kind of power that he could call upon the assistance of ETs or other beings, and he seemed to be able to predict things like her fetus developing, baby disappearing, and then also that incident when she woke up, all the UFOs he said were going to come, then she wakes up with marks all over her body. And she was a MyLab. She'd had MyLab experiences and ET experiences, and of course later she wound up in that love bite scenario with me. And folks, you know, if I can endure a love bite like that for 3 years where I thought I'd never get over this gal, believe me, if you're going through an alien love bite or some other kind of manipulated love situation, if I can do it, anybody could do it, okay? Because, you know, it took a while, and Evie was there to hold my hand through the process. Thank you, Evie. But and Barbie Bartholik also played a key role in helping me get over that whole thing. But I thought I'd never get over it, but I did. A point of relevance is the gal that I had the love bite with went through this kind of scenario that Evie just mentioned. On another occasion, this guy contacted me.
I'm getting static.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not surprising. Interference. Okay, what happened was I got contacted by this guy that was having like this horrific experience, ongoing experience, where this woman, the shape-shifting woman, wouldn't leave him alone. And it all started when he went to a party. And he says, if memory serves, the circumstances were kind of odd. He didn't even know, you know, how or why he got invited or how or why he wound up at this place. But long story short, he met this gal. And the gal, I can't remember if she offered to take him home to her house or vice versa. She asked him to take her home to his house. At any rate, they went back to one or the other's homes, and long story short, the woman did a face morph. She did a face shapeshift, and it scared the hell out of him. And then thereafter, she was popping up all over the place. She was popping up in his dreams. She was telepathically communicating with him, and she seemed to be in league with others like herself. So she was part of this clique. It was almost like one of these weird sci-fi movies where someone bumps into a clan of werewolves or something, you know?
Yeah, reminds me of that. I don't mean to interrupt, but
remember
when you interviewed, quote, Susan Reed?
Oh, yes.
What was the name of her book? And it was a really good book review. Body Snatchers, something.
The Body Snatchers, yes.
Because she had those experiences with the two reptilians. And now, oh my God, it just escaped me.
You can find that article, dear listeners, at the Whale website, whale.2, I think it is, put up by John Scudamore, an outstanding researcher from Wales. He's the one that asked me to write the book review about it. I did. And the long and the short of it was, because of Susan Reed, and that's her pseudonym, and she's since passed away under mysterious circumstances in the Bahamas, she had come into contact with a black guy that was English, British, and this black guy told her that he was really a hybrid reptilian, and he was here as part of an agenda to well, continue to manipulate the human race. And as part of that process, he would occasionally steal her DNA, right? In fact, there were times when she caught him stealing her, like, DNA. And I can't remember exactly the procedure. But what was interesting about that story was the black guy had this kind of guru effect where he seemed to be able to attract all these women to him, you know, bed all these different women and, you know, induce these powerful kundalini orgasmic experiences within women and also link into them telepathically. And also, you know, the ET UFO manifestations and stuff would kick in around him. And so what happened was, very interesting, this ET, this reptilian rather, had appeared to Susan and said, well, basically, he was an indentured servitude of the black guy. He was under the control of the black guy, and he said to Susan, look, if you go to this certain healer, he will be able to detach me from you because I've been sent here to link in with you from this black reptilian hybrid guy. And if you can do that for me, if you can heal yourself and free me in the process, then I'll tell you whatever you want to know, right? And so it was an interesting dynamic where the entity that was talking to her, she freed him from servitude to this black guy. And I think there were a couple other reptilians that were also in servitude to him. Interesting dynamic, because he's here in the physical. He goes up on ships occasionally to be with the rest of the reptilians. But working for him, he had these astral reptilians who no longer wanted to work for him because they thought he was arrogant, they thought he was an idiot, and all this other stuff. So, you know, they consummated that deal. She went to the healer that he wanted her to. He got released from her, and then he began to give her a data dump, all this intel about what this black reptilian guy was all about. It's a fascinating book.
I think it was the black guy. He was how she'd wake up at like 2 a.m. or whatever, and he'd be on the computer, and that they would have, he would like link up basically in hive mind and also via computer with all the other ones who were like himself, who were carrying out the agenda of essentially targeting a lot of people and organizations and institutions that they felt were a threat to the quote reptilian or whoever they were hive minded connected with. So they would do all this computer hacking shit and targeting, you know, at 2 a.m. or, you know, the odd hours of the night, and they would work in collusion with one another. It's like that, remember that snake woman, that she was in collusion with all these others, like work together to target certain people. Kind of dynamic.
Well, it's a net, they work in networks, and, you know, these people stumble into that, and we don't know if it's due to some kind of energy attachment hooks, or it's some kind of karmic thing, or some kind of bogus soul agreement they entered into, or just, they're just victim of circumstance, which I believe happens, where people just stumble into this kind of thing, the last thing on their mind, or and they're totally in disbelief that this stuff even exists, and then they whammo, they're right in the middle of it, and they can't find a way out. I've had people contact me before and said, I used to think you were crazy, I used to think the things you said were just completely unbelievable until they start happening to me, you know? So that dynamic happens also. And if you remember, well, we had this mutual friend back in the day, Evie. He was a long career in law enforcement, formerly CIA paramilitary. Excuse me. And got a frog in my throat.
Go figure.
Yeah. And he got into a relationship with a gal who was a targeted individual, Carol Sterling.
Yes.
She was what was known as a vector agent. She had been suborned into this CIA program, and she was given a certain chronic disease that would kill her eventually if she did not keep taking this antidote or serum that her handler gave her. And in order for her to continue to receive this serum, she had to do the bidding of this handler, and the bidding was she had to go out into the UFO field and probably other conspiracy-related fields, have sexual relationships with certain well-known researchers, and infect them with this disease that she was carrying, which she needed a CIA antidote serum in order so she wouldn't succumb to it, right? So that was her job, was to go around and you know, bed all these males in the UFO field. But what was interesting, and this happens a lot, Evie, as you know, there was an overlay to it. There was a reptilian ET overlay because it wasn't the CIA that was working through her. Because one time, this guy that we know, this ex-CIA paramilitary law enforcement guy, he woke up and this gal had this long tube sticking out of the tip of her tongue.
There's another person who reported that, and it was in my book. It was the sex dragon case where it was a female who had that whole, it sounds like this proboscid thing, freaking come out of her throat and then blinking right the fucking snake into his solar plexus. But he perceived it as more energetic, but he definitely felt it physically and actually saw it.
Yeah, this guy that I'm talking about, he saw it. He said this thing just extended from the tip of her tongue, and he thought he was seeing things. And I don't know if she was trying to, you know, stick it down like a catheter down his peckerwood or what. I can't remember the gory details. TMI, too much information. Sorry about that, folks. But, you know, this is adult-level kind of discussions we're having here. And so this guy, he did a double take. He goes, I can't believe what I just saw. Could you do that again, right? And then she did it again. And this kind of long proboscis, long tube-like thing just extended from the tip of her tongue, freaked him out. Basically, what she said was she was working for these reptilians, and part of her job was to extract semen and other genetic material from the males that she was having sex with. Interesting, because she was being tasked by this element of the CIA to target these UFO researchers, and the overlay on top of that was the reps wanted her to get DNA from the guy she was targeting before she killed him off, right? Or it was like a slow kill kind of thing. They would have died eventually from the disease she passed on. That's why she was called a vector agent, right? Yeah. And I was in Como with Carol Sterling for a while before she finally took her own life. And, folks, it was horrific because she was told that she didn't do something she was supposed to do. And that really enraged her handlers. And thereafter, they began beaming her constantly, no matter where she was. She would feel tremendous muscle pain, tremendous headaches, migraines, and her whole body the nerves seemed to be on fire. Of course, when she went to the doctors, they never found anything wrong with her. They quickly labeled her like a schizophrenic. Her family thought she was nuts and disengaged from her. So she was pretty much alone. Yeah.
Wasn't she like Monarch MPD DID and raised that way?
Yes, there was that element to it as well. Yes, if memory serves. As a matter of fact, the late great UFO researcher George Andrews, who was a close friend of Barbie Bartholik's, he's the one that put me in contact with Carol Sterling. And it just shows the weird 6 degrees of separation or less in our field, because it turned out that one of the guys she was sent to target in the field was this guy that I knew, the ex-CIA law enforcement guy. And you know, what's interesting about this law enforcement guy was he was in my lab. I'd seen x-rays of him, all kinds of implants in his body at the time. He'd had ET, UFO, missing time experiences, had a big UFO experience in Niles County, Michigan. Niles in Michigan. In Michigan, when he was a cop in Michigan, where a number of different law enforcement agencies all became aware of a big UFO event, and then the CIA came along to cover it up and even killed some of the policemen who'd seen and reported what had happened, right? But anyway, so he was a part of that. He was part of the Fraternal Order of Police, so he was like a 32nd degree Freemason, and all this other stuff was going on with him. So he was kind of like their ideal kind of bloodline type. And so he wakes up one morning and this Carol gal has got this long tube sticking out of her tongue trying to extract genetic material out of him, and he freaks out, you know, as he should, you know. So we're just pointing this out, folks, to show that, you know, this kind of stuff does happen, that you know, people just stumble into, or by nature of their personality, their destiny, their genetics, they find themselves in these kinds of sagas.
Well, yeah, some women are like the last two that I got the testimonials from. At least one of them was very much into, let's say the women the womb wisdom with the women shamanic and the Gaia connection and the whole guru spirituality thing. And, you know, basically she's a very good person, a very spiritual person, but it's as if these gurus that are the predators, they're predating and feeding upon many women who, you know, actually will, the ones who are caught up into the spell, they will actually help promote him. And he would be like the man behind the scenes where all these women are actually promoting this women's wisdom stuff. But then there's this, you know, sorcerer predator at the root of it all.
Yes, yeah, so ultimately patriarchal, essentially, at the top, right?
Yeah, and he's feeding on them, but you know, this feeding can cause an activation also of the whole kundalini, so it puts them like in a spell, and there's this whole love spell thing that happens, I think, with a lot of these male guru predator types, and that's why, you know, it's kind of hard for some of these women to disengage because they really are under a kind of a spell, and, you know, there's this all this astral stuff going on at the same time, and, you know, and a lot of spiritual groups are infected by these things or run by these things or good spiritual groups are actually targeted by the predators to corrupt and infect and basically, you know, ruin the entire group. Like the one that I had posted in that article recently, I put in a link from, you know, an interview that was like way back in 2012 or 13 of a spiritual community in North Carolina that was targeted by a man who was one of these predators, but he was actually an ex-MILAB, quote, one of these military remote viewers who claimed to be a contactee and had these ET walk-ins. And really what he was doing was acting out a satanic occult military mind control programming, and he was completely hosted. And then the entities working through him were basically carrying out an agenda to destroy these spiritual communities and infect them and do the little feeding job on top of it, but also trying to get younger members, like the teenage son at the time was actually being lured in by this older male he was actually trying to talk him into literally being hosted and thinking this is a normal process to be a vessel for these beings and that, you know, to work this way with your energy. And basically, you know, when you read this and hear this testimony, it was like he's basically trying to get them to open themselves up for full demonic possession.
Oh, wow.
What they're doing, you know? So it's really scary because once you link up with some of these predator sorcerers that, you know, once you're linked up energetically, then, you know, you can all the entities that are in them can fully attack you and mess with you. And that's why it's so hard for these women to get out of it. They, you know, let's say they've done their healing work, they've done their inner child work or this or that, but then they still are, you know, caught up in the astral linking and they can't de-link from these entities that have a stronghold on their spirit. So there's quite a stronghold on them that makes it real difficult for a lot of them.
The emotional component also, Evie, because I'm not saying this because I'm not implying that women are more emotional than men. There's many men out there that are extremely overly emotional. And the way the social engineering and programming is these days, as you know, it's all emotionally driven, right? You know, like the colleges teach victim identity politics. Everyone's a victim. You know, everything is broken down into different categories of victimized people and stuff. So, you know, there is that overlay on top of this as well, where we're all being taught that we're victims of one sort or another, and everything is emotionally driven. Logic, common sense, all that stuff goes out the window. So, yep. You know, just, you know.
Common sense has gone out the window, and I'm kind of surprised at this. I mean, I got to look at of the younger generation, let's just say the academic younger generation and the dependency on computer and cell phone technology to such an extent that there seems to be something lacking and missing. And I'm only able to see it because I've been away from it that long, and to see the, I think, a dramatic shift in the behaviors and the mindset of academia, let's say, and those who are so dependent on what they think is true and what they're learning, and they still don't have a clue of what's really happening and what's really running. Like, I won't say what institutions, but I could say that I could see that now after, let's say, maybe the experience I have as a therapist and, you know, working with people with mind control projects and that kind of thing, that really what's going on is there's a recruiting operation going on with a lot of these high level academic institutions where, you know, they're basically trying to break you mentally to see which ones will rise above, you know, the extreme difficulty and the mental and physical and emotional strain of the expectations on them. And then they just take the cream of the crop, and then while the other ones crumble, and then they basically, they have to work so hard, they're basically being mind controlled to, you know, be really smart in business or whatever it is. And then they're just, they're like, the brilliant ones are taken, but they put them under such a rigorous schedule that all they can do is learn what they can learn to barely survive or even get their physical needs met because it's so severe. And then they take the cream of the crop to get recruited by these high-level, huge corporations that maybe want them to be the high-level IT financial analysts and the accountants and that kind of thing. And then they get recruited because they're these brainiacs, but then they'll find out that maybe these corporations are just using them, and then they've got themselves into an agreement of entrapment through different confidentiality agreements or security clearance agreements. And then, you know, if they talk, you know, they get offed. So it's like the smartest and the best are actually getting recruited by a lot of these darker corporations, if you ask me. And I could see that happening, where you could start to see that what's happening in a lot of these institutions that claim to be the highest and the brightest, they're basically recruiting mind control operations where, you know, they're making money as a business, but they're also recruiting. It's not a learning institution.
No, not at all.
And, you know, the, what, 95th percentile or whatever it is, to get the cream of the crop so they can use these and to be the brightest to continue on these big corporations that need the brightest to keep going. But once they find themselves in these things, like, then they may like, well, I don't know if I want to do this. And then they realize, let's say, it's really corrupt at the top. And another thing that I've noticed, okay, since part of my work is therapy and being able to recognize narcissistic personality disorder, different personality disorders, and of course psychopaths and psychopathic behavior, which I see over and over again in this whole love bite thing. But what is concerning to me is the blindness of people who obviously demonstrate a lot of intelligence, let's say on an academic and intellectual way, but they are blind to being able to see psychopaths and high places. And then it's as if, let's say, middle management, they're these basically good people who are carrying out what their jobs are as being the in-between between the lowers and the uppers, right? Taking the orders from the upper people and getting the lower people they manage to do their job, but they're blind to see that they're working for fucking psychopaths.
Yes.
And it's, why are they blind? But they're using good people who have good intentions to carry out the orders of the psychopaths, but they're blind to see how things are run. And it's like, why is there such a blindness for people who are even intelligent to have blindness? And this is something to me that has been actually a great mystery, even within this whole, let's say, new predator dynamic, because these new predators, they're so good at what they do that they can deceive even the brightest. And so there's a lot of blind spots that people have. And you have to ask yourself, if people claim to be psychic and they claim to be smart, like really, really smart, like high IQs, then how come they're so blind and they don't see this other shit?
Yes.
There is a blindness. And this means that intelligence alone is not enough. It is not enough. We need to have a much higher intelligence.
Yes. It's the compartmentalization. They come to this agreement within themselves, no doubt helped along by all the emotional, psychological duress they're subjected to by their controllers. Because, I mean, medical school, classic example, where they're sleep deprived, they're just hammered with all this dogma. You know, when they ask the wrong question in class, they're just hammered. They're all expected to be operating off the same sheet of music. Jerry Marzinski talks about that when he was going for his PhD, that he asked a question and it just totally pissed off the doctor, the professor he was teaching the class. You know, like, how dare you ask this question, right? And we see this in the colleges too, where it's a form of the Stanford experiment. If you remember that, Evie, where they did this weird experiment, and they divided the two groups of people. One would be the prisoners, the other would be the warders, the jailers. And then before too long, the people that played the role of the jailers, the warders, they started to enjoy it in a sadistic fashion where they were starting to torture people, and some of the victim people, some of the prisoners, they fell into this mindset of being the victim. Instead of saying, get me the hell out of here, this has gone too far, et cetera, et cetera, they just kind of went into Stockholm syndrome mode and went along with the whole thing. And the people that became the jailers, the prison guards, they just went nuts and went crazy with power. And we see this all the time in these black rendition sites. First of all, they recruit people based on psychology. And, of course, psychology follows neurology, follows genetics. So they know who to recruit for these programs where the people become, torturers and sadistic. But I believe that something, and the proof is in the pudding, folks, that something along those lines has happened in the medical schools and the psychiatric schools.
I think the higher institutions, let's say the ones that are rated to be, quote, the best schools, are actually the ones that are carrying out recruiting operations and essentially mind control operations to recruit the best. But the trouble is the best will be taken advantage of at some point to be recruited by, the biggest and highest paying corporations or maybe even the government. And then they find out, oh, my God, these brightest brains are used to maintain these systems that at the top have very questionable ethics.
Yes, and once in a while, someone like Snowden slips through the cracks. And you can go on YouTube, you could find I was a former social justice warrior. I was a former cultural Marxist student, but I took the red pill, right, where they talk about the indoctrination they received. And then there was a part of them, this innate sovereign part of them, that rebelled against all this. They went along with it for a while, and these are also black individuals that were part of the Black Lives Matter movement, Antifa, etc. And they realized, some of them, a small percentage of them, realized that this is all mass mind control. This is all social engineering. This is all benefiting the elite. It's like, these Antifa social justice warriors, they're not out there, rioting in front of Chase Manhattan Bank or something like that. They're causing trouble for everybody else. They're like the Soviet youth. They're like the Soviet youth, communist youth movement, just going around. And also, what you talked about earlier, Evie, was brilliant, because that's the exact same dynamic in the colleges, where if the professor is pushing all this stuff about gender equality, about white privilege, race war, hate on whitey, et cetera, et cetera, a lot of people, that resonates with them. The unhealed people that have this chip on their shoulder, they're prime candidates for that kind of message. So they say, yes, I'm a victim. Yes, I'm a victim. And then they take it and they run with it, and they're actively encouraged by the professors. It doesn't matter what they do on the campus, what kind of harassment they mete out to conservative students, so-called. They're always going to get a free pass. And then they become drunk with power, just like the guards became drunk with power in the Stanford Research Institute, experiment. So we're seeing that dynamic, and the point of relevance is to what we were talking about, was we need to, as much as possible, separate the emotional component when we're going through these things, because some emotions can be extremely addictive, as you know, the love drug emotion, the unrequited love, longing for the other person emotion, the
anger, rage cycles,
the resentment. These are all combination OCD thought loops, brainwave entrainment, and also our contact influence. As the Jerry Marzinski, Sherry Sweeney series of lectures and interviews that are coming out on my show will go into detail about. These are entities that are giving people these OCD thought loops. Absolutely they are. And so what happens is, the person or the woman in our example who's caught up with one of these gurus, if she's had her kundalini activated, if they've had intercourse and she's had these powerful orgasms, and then that starts to cloud her mind, she knows that there's some kind of manipulation involved, but darn it, it feels good physically. Maybe she's getting fulfillment in emotional areas which she wasn't getting before. So all these things begin to come into play. And then the OCD thought loops begin to kick in. And what these OCD thought loops are doing, they're really entities. When the person starts to break that brainwave patterning. When they start to think differently, when they start to do things differently, then the OCD and the spiritual warfare stuff just intensifies to kind of like reel them back in, you know? So
it's amazing.
To lighten the load, yeah. To lighten the load, people really need, you know, to divest themselves of the high emotional component, because that's what the professors are inculcating in the social justice warriors in the schools.
Control and even marketing to certain, you know, they play on the emotions and actually the unmet needs. Let's say when we talk about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where you have, you know, at the lowest level is sleep and sex and survival and shelter. And then the next level up is safety, and level up that is social needs, and then one up self-esteem and self-actualization. Well, in these schools, they're actually recruiting by cutting down to the lowest level of needs not being met, and then just basically watching how these people scramble to basically pass classes under all these extreme duress conditions. It's like an MKUltra operation.
It's like an MK Ultra survival school, and throw in like British parachute regiment beasting, where they're just harassing you constantly, to get through the next phase of training, to get through the next exercise. There's someone yelling in your ear, and the British paras in the recruitment, they make them, pair up, with no boxing gloves, and they call it milling, and there'll be a crowd of paras and para recruits around these two. And for 3 minutes, they're just supposed to beat the crap out of each other without boxing gloves. It's called milling, like a mill, you know? And if one guy starts to pound the other guy into the ground and he lets up, no, you can't let up. That shows empathy. That shows compassion. And so they got to start over. And the guy's got to beat him into the ground and keep beating him. Otherwise, he fails and he gets, you know.
Yeah, I'm getting interference static. Maybe because you're getting excited about what you're talking about. Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, I'll calm down.
I know it happens on Skype. It seems like when the energy gets riled up, it'll do that.
Yeah. And
but I've noticed that there's other forms of communication that don't have this, that are actually encrypted. Just like what Snowden said, right? You know, Skype and YouTube and Google and Windows 10, every single communication thing, a lot of the major ones are all hacked into by the DOD and the major spy corporations.
Yeah.
It's all privatized by now anyway, so who knows who can get into it, but just the fact that that's true. And you know what was interesting? Well, I don't want to say, but there's a lot of people who just don't even know that. Like, I was talking to some high-level IT people at a let's call it an academic institution, and, I was having trouble with my computer. And, I decided to add Kaspersky for security and get a VPN and do all the things that I needed to do to get up to speed. And they didn't even know where the fucking Kaspersky was.
Yeah.
Like, kidding me? What is wrong with these people when they don't even know? Like, Windows 10 is fucking infected. Don't you get it? Like, hello?
Interesting, years ago when I worked in naval communications, right, I saw this. I saw this kind of compartmentalization where – they're all lumped into the intellect side of things, and then compassion, conscience, reflection, deep reflection. It's all by the wayside. And that was before the autism spectrum disorder was kicking in from all the vaccines. That was before the Borg connection with the digital devices.
I haven't had a chance to post on my website, but I have been viewing a few videos here and there that I think are worthy of mention, that are very good. And the last two that I watched were Harold Kautzvella in December doing the Cabin Talk video interview with Pauline or Paula. What is a very, very good interview that really connected the dots between many very, very important topics that were both scientific and metaphysical and spiritual and emotional, psychology, everything. And I think he also included the Asperger's syndrome, autism spectrum.
Oh, yes.
And what some of this, not only with the AI, quote, AI, black goo, technology, and, what's happening with the toxicity that's affecting our neurochemistry and these connections and heavy metal substitutions, which are actually causing and facilitating these nervous system problems and physical problems that the allopathic community is still denying and still shoving this shit, in our bodies. But you know, basically we're having a lot of autistic and Asperger syndrome people, but what's really happening if we wanted to look at it from what's happening from this whole conspiratorial perspective of how are they transhumanizing and affecting our body, our biochemistry, our genetics, so that we are more manipulatable by the artificial intelligence technologies, and what is linked up to that, which I suspect is a lack of a better term, is a type of demonic thing that will come through certain forms of technologies. And I don't even know if Herb Calzavella talked about this. There's so many things that I've been able to put together based on my understanding, let's say, of biochemistry and AI and, you know, the alien love bite and alien stuff. I mean, I could put the connections together, but to try to explain it to someone, it would take conversations. But basically, he was talking about, you know, the black goo, right, is the alien consciousness that came here through meteors that have the black goo in the rocks. And then that is connected with through different ancient like religions. And he talked about how they actually connect into the AI demiurgic god, which is really the black goo, and which only has the mental and the sexual. So it's basically all mental, and it's lacking the empathy and the heart chakra element of the love compassion element. So that is lacking in those connections, those energies. So when you see the technology, it's lacking the empathy and the emotional intelligence, as well as spiritual intelligence. So when we depend on those intelligences to be actually the wisest and to assume that it will actually extrapolate the wisest decisions based on artificial intelligence, that's complete stupidity on an emotional intelligence perspective, or even spiritual intelligence. To me, it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, they don't understand paradox, right? So if they don't understand paradox, how could it ever make the right choices in the long run? It's going to do something that's very unempathic and very psychopathic down the road. They're causing the heavy metal substitution going on in the neurological and the brain and in our DNA, so that the metal actually causes a more easier connection with the transceiving and receiving of the artificial intelligence, how it communicates and what its frequency. So when our bodies are used and toxified by the heavy metals, along with, you know, attached entities, you become entrained with the AI alien intelligence as opposed to the organic. I don't even want to call it organic because that's another conversation, but let's say the naturalness of the eternal nature of spirit, which is actually non-dual in nature and is very love, essence, empathy, compassion oriented. And it is nameless and is indefinable. And is not even a conceptual thing. Like, and when we tap into that essence of our being, there is really no thought in words that is even dualistic in nature or linguistic.
Yes.
So when we tap into the other is the other. Okay. So when you are entrained in the other and you've been born and raised to be entrained in that, you don't know, you can't recognize the naturalness that is being basically hijacked and covered up by this AI technology, you know, transceiving and receiving kinds of connections. But I think what happens is when we become dependent on technology and touching it.
Interfacing with it, yes.
And the entrainment in our brains that overlays the naturalness of the pure spiritual awareness, which is also tapped into the heart compassion thing. So it basically turned everybody into a bunch of Aspie people who are disconnected from their heart and totally, they may be really, really brilliant, but they're dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to emotional intelligence and really knowing how to emotionally connect and spiritually connect with that kind of integrity. I mean, I think it's happening where they're entraining kids at a very, very young age so that they're completely hijacked. So there's another thing that I wanted to bring up, but it sounds crazy, but it was another interview that a military, ex-military, MyLab, high-level military guy had done some kind of interview. And I think he's a Christian, actually. So it was on a Christian show. And I don't remember his name, and I'll have to dig it up at some point. But I guess it was his observation of what was going on. I don't know if it was Area 51 or whenever, wherever they were doing underground medical experimentation where they were creating alien human gray bodies and babies in these. They were using mothers, human mothers who were like 15 years old, and put them in a coma, and then they would impregnate them and create these hybrid gray embryos in them, or create hybrids, right? But one of the ways that they actually created them, and he said it was because they just jacked them up with all these like toxic heavy metals and viruses and a lot of like mercury, but so many heavy metals that basically it would sacrifice the mother. So they have to sacrifice and kill the mother. And then it would take the fetus out when it was about 6 months. And then the fetus that you take out, they look like an alien gray. They're like bluish gray, but it was because of the toxicity of the heavy metals. And so these hybrid beings that they created, the way they were so connected mentally with that alien AI heavy metal intelligence is because they were so hijacked with the heavy metals that that's how it entrained their minds to be completely telepathic with the alien minds. So this whole heavy metal thing is a clue. And that toxicity in the human body is very, very bad. So we're entraining people to normalize this alien intelligence and this black goo intelligence, and whatever people are thinking is God is really not God. It's the other. You see? So that's what they're entraining us to accept and to normalize in this toxic condition on Earth with all the shit in our food and the air. But when they create the hybrids, this is what this guy was saying. He said it's not necessarily it had a lot of other DNA in it, but the element that made them look like, quote, alien grays was really the heavy metal toxicity that completely mutated what was human in that embryo, right? So most people wouldn't get how this, why it works. But when I understood what Harold Kautzfella was saying and this whole heavy metal thing and how it hijacks your consciousness and your DNA, by the way, it hijacks what your DNA will even express. You see? So this is dangerous. It's so dangerous.
Oh, it is dangerous because if you look at like the micrograms of aluminium, aluminum as Americans call it, in the vaccines and the length of the vaccine schedule, just how many vaccines babies and children and young adults are getting hammered with, you know, now they're trying to make it so it's mandatory for adults to keep getting vaccines, right? Yeah. And so pretty soon, estimates suggest that pretty soon one in two people down the road will be autistic. But yeah, what's happening is this heavy metal particulate toxicity that's going on. And then overlay on top of that, you have the chemtrails. In the chemtrails are heavy metals. And not only that, though, but probably within the chemtrails, well, definitely within the chemtrails, but also other forms of infestation, let's say, we're starting to get hit not only with these nanoparticles, but all these weird polymers. These weird artificial polymers are showing up, you know, these worm-like things in people's like body, Morgellons and things
yeah,
like that. So
Blood talks about that too. Like he was able to make the connections of, you know, what it is and why it acts the way it does and how it's made and how really, you know, this whole heavy metal substitution that's going on in our bodies. It's in not only the neurochemistry, but also in the DNA, RNA connections, which they block out the natural biophoton light and gold and copper. So the gold and copper is actually being substituted out, which takes away the higher intelligence aspect of how there's the RNA communicates to the DNA. And it's like the consciousness actually controls DNA. So the yeah. consciousness of the highest level of consciousness will go through that, and then the RNA will basically communicate to DNA and tell it what to express. So even in Bruce Lipton's work, where he talks about, you know, the highest locus of control of genetic expression is in the perception of, you know, the cell or the environment or and how we perceive in our consciousness actually will be translated into what we should express genetically. That means we could change our genetics. We could choose what we express. So genetics is not a solid thing. It's just that most people don't have the consciousness to be able to go deeply, deeply inside your deeply subconscious programming to change deeply embedded subconscious programming. And so that actually takes place within the first 6 years of someone's life and as well as the ancestral stuff you carry on from your ancestors. But if we can go deep and undo some of that detrimental programming that is done between 0 and 6 years old, then we can probably get out from under a lot of feeling like a victim of our genetics or even of our environment to a certain degree. And I think this kind of goes back into, you know, why mind control in terms of trauma-based mind control is done the way it is done. And as we know, remember how we had conversations with Arizona Wilder years ago, and many of these monarch mind control survivals from high-level bloodline families,
yeah,
how they said that, you know, this is a very ancient science based on ritual as well as trauma, and to program and control people and to actually change their brain structure so that they can do superhuman things, right? But they have to do it between 0 and 6 or 0 and 7 years old. They have to carry out the splitting, the trauma splitting, within the first 6 to 7 years. And they usually do it by age 3 for sure. So that is the deeply subconscious programmed part of our being that goes into the first 7 years of our life. And that's why they program at those early ages to really lock it in. But if we can undo that programming and heal and integrate, then we can undo that deeply embedded programming. And so the programming is happening on many, many levels, you know. And that's why, you know, even people like Bruce Lipton, who's a biochemist, that, you know, now a lot of his focus is on how do we change our deeply embedded subconscious programming in terms of deeply held beliefs,
yes,
that are and by emotions that have been happened through traumas, which make us believe things that are false that affect us, you know, down the road in these programs and patterns that are dysfunctional, right? So really, it is a therapeutic process that if we want to go deep to create great positive change, even in our genetics and in our environment, we have to go deep in ourselves to get to that deepest level. And so that really is the most important thing. But I think most people don't realize the value of what it takes to go deeper, to get to the highest locus of control, to actually change our reality. So, you know, that's why I do what I do, because, you know, you can do it with health to a certain extent, but at some point you do have to deal with the emotional and the, you know, the programming and the trauma resolution and even the ancestral stuff. We can actually do that in quantum healing. So that's where we need to go. It's just that we're being bombarded on so many sides to actually prevent that self-memory and that access to that highest essence of who we are. And I just think people don't realize the value of that. They keep falling back into what I call the programming of assuming that it's actually science and the external world that is the most important. Like, let's say they believe science and engineering is more important than, let's say, emotional intelligence. And even in the world, you could see how careers, they pay more for science or engineering or IT or whatever. And then like teachers and childcare workers and artists and therapists, you know, they're like completely devalued. They're not even considered of value, like even in terms of their opinion. And I see this in academic institutions.
Yes.
Now, because see, I was a scientist before I became a therapist, and I did the dancing and I did the poetry and I did the music. Okay, I was like on all levels, right? But I still see that people are still programmed to only value this Copernican Newtonian science mindset, which is only half the equation, or actually less than half. Because if you look at it from a Taoist perspective, they're like, they're way off. You know, they're thinking you can't connect back to the original essence of your primordial non-dual energy through the external side.
Yes.
It's like people are trying to do it through science, like, oh, let's do it through your cell phone. Well, you know what? You don't even need a cell phone. All you have to do is tap into your own telepathy and your own innate empathy, and you won't even need that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, when you go back to connect with that part, you don't need the externalization part. You need the internal part. So you see how we're so well programmed to devalue that which we need to even have the resources to get out from under this control system. See, the mind control is so effective, people don't even know what they're valuing and what they're devaluing. I see it clearly and I feel it, and I'm just flabbergasted at the stupidity on an emotional intelligence emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence perspective. Most people, they're just like, I can't believe how stupid they are. I sound arrogant. I'm sorry.
Well,
just
no,
that's
a very important point because, okay, look, I've known personally a number of jet fighter pilots, right? And from a bookish technical standpoint, they're pretty smart, some of these guys. I knew guys that went through, you know, NTPS, Naval Test Pilot School, in Patuxent River, Maryland, I think it is, Navy Test Pilot School. And these are really sharp, switched-on guys, but they're completely lacking in the empathy department. Because let's look at what happened recently in Syria. Thankfully, the Russians stepped in, and they helped the Syrian army. They kicked ISIS out, but not after most of Syria was devastated, right? Because NATO and the Americans were arming all these jihadist whack jobs to go around and, you know, behead people and all this other stuff. But thankfully, the Russians moved in an advanced air defense system. They brought in their advisors. They brought in their air cover, basically kicked the hell out of the ISIS and, you know, humiliated the U.S. in the process, I must say. And then they went into Iraq and they helped there too. The Iraqi army booted out ISIS. And so now ISIS has, you know, been sent reeling, basically. Now, stop and think about the U.S. Air Force pilots that were, like, supporting the ISIS on the ground. They're dropping ordnance on the Syrian army. They're dropping ordnance on Syrian civilians, blowing the crap out of entire communities. I don't know what they're being told. Maybe they're being told they're bombing ISIS. But they're really bombing the Syrian civilians. They're really destroying, trying to destroy the Syrian army to let these jihadists take over Syria and turn it into another failed state, right? So it's an example of individuals who are very book smart. They can fly jets. They can, you know, when they're flying in the air, they're actually engaging more of their brain. They're working in three dimensions plus, right? But for whatever reason, they've made this internal compromise with themselves, partially due to the programming, compartmentalization, whatever, and they have no qualms whatsoever about unloading all these bombs onto friggin', you know, civilians, onto, just because they were told by their masters, okay, boy, go out and, you know, attack these people, and without another thought, they do it. And then you have the operators on the ground. You know, U.S. Special Forces working side by side with ISIS. The motto of U.S. Special Forces is de oppresso liber, you know, to free the oppressed, right? So what are they doing hanging around with these ISIS guys that are going around setting up these open-air slave markets in Libya, another liberated country, used to be the best standard of living in the entire world, Libya, and now they have open-air slave markets there because of the NATO-U.S. humanitarian intervention, which released all these jihadists to run amok in that country. That's their idea of freedom. And U.S. forces and NATO forces help in this. They play a key role in this. And it just doesn't occur to some of these people. They're more technocratic than human in their thinking. It's like, why am I doing this? And what they're going to do next is they're going to create some kind of false flag. They're going to do something that's going to enrage, you know, the dummies in the American populace to want to go to war with Iran. And that's another thing. It's like it never occurs to these guys, well, I guess part of it is, well, all the training they go through and the type A personalities they are, oh, finally they get to bomb somebody, you know what I mean? But it never occurs to them to question the validity of their orders, right? So,
they're not told the whole truth. Because I remember a MyLab that I used to know who was in a paramilitary group being told to take out certain, quote, terrorists. And some of this was secret stuff, you know, like secret MyLab-y stuff, but it was still paramilitary. And, you know, they'd be given a, you know, information on a target and being told the target is so-and-so doing such-and-such and is just basically an evil character. And then they take them out and then they find out later, you know, it really wasn't altogether true. And they're taking out someone who's like innocent or really not as evil as their controllers told them it was. And so the controllers are telling them whatever they need to hear to get them to carry out the job and to feel justified in doing it. So I think that's the case. Things are compartmentalized or twisted in such a way that people will feel justified to take out these actions. But if they knew, it's just like, quote, the middle management, an analogy I used is that them not knowing fully what their controllers are telling them to do, and upper management and the upper CEO levels or whatever it is, as an analogy. They really don't know. And the question is, why don't they know? Why don't they have the emotional and spiritual intelligence or whatever backgrounds they need to be able to identify psychopaths and how they operate, including in secret, what they do in secret, and how to identify those behaviors and those lifestyles and those families? So why are they carrying out their orders? It's because they don't know how to identify properly what they're dealing with. They don't know. They're not being taught in school, just like even in regular psychology. You know, they have the DSM categories of personality disorders and anxiety, this and addiction, that, oh, whatever. I mean, it's still good, right? But they're not taught that, oh, there's such a thing as, the deliberately created MPD, DID, mind controlled slave through high level occult programming through these bloodline families that have been using trauma based mind control and occult rituals for years. So they're not able to identify these things because they're told they don't exist. So they don't have the adequate training to deal with the problem.
Yes, and their idea of resolving it is to label them as a schizophrenic and then hammer them with psych drugs, right? Right? So it's a really bizarre dynamic. And also, you know, before we end this first segment, the concept of cause and effect, the programming is such, Evie, they don't even realize or comprehend the baneful effects of their actions. There's no cause and effect. Like, what I did here had this negative effect. And you see this in medicine. You see this in all across the board. In high finance, there's this disconnect between actions and behaviors and the malign influence and malign effects it has on many others. But somehow they have the wherewithal to tune all that out and continue to be an order follower. So, and I believe that's part and parcel. I believe that is the outward manifestation of this Borg collective heavy metal toxicity, mind control, Stanford experiment programming we've been talking about. So, anyhow, we reached the end of a fascinating first half. You've been listening to our very special guest, Eve Lorgan, dear friend of mine from way back. Eve Lorgan's website is evelorgan.com. Delve into more of these issues and talk about some of the other stuff in the second half. And for those of you listening, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next hour. Because this is a frequency war.